NPR News and the WOI Radio Group welcome you to a Democratic presidential candidates debate. I'm Neil Conan, and this is an NPR News special. We're broadcasting live from the downtown Des Moines campus of Iowa State University. It's a cold and sunny day with a dusting of snow on the ground. Six Democrats who hope to challenge President George W. Bush next fall are here, seated at a U-shaped table in front of me. Starting at my left, former Governor Howard Dean of Vermont, Congressman Dick Gephardt of Missouri, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, and former Ambassador Carol Mosley Braun of Illinois. Wesley Clark declined our invitation. Senator John Edwards and Reverend Al Sharpton accepted, but changed their plans. This is a radio-only debate, so for the first time in this campaign, there are no TV cameras, and there's no audience. Before we begin, some obligatory language about the ground rules. I'll be asking specific questions to specific candidates, many of them selected from the thousands of emails sent in by NPR listeners. Because of time constraints, we ask that you hold your questions to 1 minute. There will be opportunities for follow-ups and rebuttals at my discretion, and we'll take short breaks every 15 minutes or so. We have 2 hours, so we'll talk about Iraq and terrorism, about deficits and taxes, but we also want to step back from the news to ask about some broader issues, about your views of America and its place in the world, about the proper role of government, about who you are and how you think. The first question is for Governor Dean. 40 years ago, in his State of the Union address, President Lyndon Johnson declared an unconditional war on poverty. Both Democrats and Republicans have controlled the White House and Congress since then. Why are so many Americans still living in poverty?
I think a lot of it has to do with the extraordinary corporate alliances and rapaciousness that this president has encouraged since he's been president. The Medicare prescription benefits bill is a perfect example. $400 billion charged to our grandchildren. Who are the beneficiaries? Not seniors. No, $100 billion goes to the pharmaceutical industry, $85 billion goes to HMOs and insurance companies, and the seniors get left holding the bag. I was in North Dakota yesterday. Farmers up there are being forced off their land by big corporations who are buying up all the hoglot operations, the beef operations. This is a country which is a great country, and business has been great for America, but business has responsibility, too, and this president believes that he is the president for the corporation, by the corporation, and of the corporation. I think we need a president who's going to introduce programs like Lyndon Johnson did, Medicare, Head Start, that affect ordinary people and help them get ahead in life instead of catering to corporations whose chief executives are giving him $2,000 a whack to improve his campaign coffers.
Congressman Gephardt, here's an email we got from Henry Abbott in Flemington, New Jersey. He writes, many Americans feel jaded about the political process and powerless to influence it, which is not the way this democracy was supposed to work. Why do you think that is, and what can we do to fix it?
Well, I think it goes to the question of the way we operate campaigns. We need campaign reform, and I'm proud to have led the effort in the House a year ago to get the McCain-Feingold campaign reform bill through the Congress. I actually brought John McCain to my office, and we together made phone calls to members of Congress to get them to vote for the bill. We got well over 200 Democrats. We got 15 or so Republicans. That's kind of the normal ratio on a question of reform and campaigns. And we got it done, and I'm proud we got it done. There's more that we need to get done. People have given up on this system. They think that everybody is bought. They think that the special interests are running amok in the Capitol. And, you know, the Republican Party is selling the government to the highest bidder. We've got to change that perception and reality. And when I'm president, we'll get more campaign reform.
That was Congressman Gephardt. Senator Kerry, do you think there is any issue so important right now that it needs a constitutional amendment?
I think it may be possible that in order to deal with the campaign contribution system, you may have to have a constitutional amendment. I think that the single greatest problem in America today with respect to why people are voiceless, why so many people can't have their agenda addressed, is campaign funding. I have personally refused in all 4 elections to the United States Senate. I have voluntarily never taken political action committee money because I wanted to prove you can do it. Paul Wellstone and I together wrote the Clean Elections Law, and I wrote and passed legislation in the 1980s and 90s that actually had partial public funding. What's happened is the corporations across this country, whether it's Medicare, the energy bill, $50 billion of oil and gas subsidies for the energy companies at the expense of $18 billion added to the deficit. It's inexcusable. We're witnessing the greatest period of crony capitalism in the modern history of the country, and we have to end it with campaign finance reform.
But just let me follow up, Senator Kerry. Is there anything besides the money wrong with our political system, redistricting, for example?
Sure. Absolutely. There are a lot of things that are wrong besides that. But the biggest single reason why the voices of Americans, the average American, is not heard is because so much money flows into Washington. The lobbyists are parading through the halls of Congress. They actually wrote the Medicare bill. They were paid $139 million, and they turned it into a $139 billion drug company benefit. It's one of the greatest modern examples of the feeding frenzy at the congressional trough that we've seen in any time that I've been there. And everyone in America understands what's wrong. George Bush is feeding that. We have to stop it. And as president, you know, I've fought these interests all my life, Neil. I fought against Gingrich's efforts to cut the Clean Air and Clean Water Act. I led the fight to stop the drilling of the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. We have to stand up to these interests. I've done it, and I will.
Congressman Kucinich, 50 years after Brown versus Board of Education, America is resegregating in the schools and, according to the census, in our communities. How, as president, would you address that problem?
It's a great tragedy when you consider that that resegregation carries with it a increasing divide in terms of not just educational opportunities, but after the fact, job opportunities. The first thing we must do is to start paying attention to our inner city schools. Inner city school systems are wanting for capital, they're wanting for resources. We need smaller classroom sizes, we need better paid teachers. We need to have a universal pre-kindergarten program. This will go a long way towards helping children age 3, 4, and 5 be able to get a 5-day-a-week daycare, which would include reading skills, educational and social skills. It would include nutrition. We need to start early, and we also need to have a fully paid universal college education so that young people will have the chance when they graduate from high school to be able to go on and pull themselves up by their bootstraps. This is all about a public educational system that works from age 3 all the way through to college.
Thank you, Congressman Kucinich. And here's an email from Jeff Barris in Washington, D.C. for Senator Lieberman. You've said in the past that separation of church and state means freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. How do atheists and secularists fit into that vision of American spirituality?
Thanks very much for asking that question. This is a difference between individual behavior and the public square. And the great point of the First Amendment is that it protects every individual's right to worship or not worship as they choose. I always thought it was a remarkable, a brilliant act of principle when in the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson wrote and the others signed that those self-evident truths that we all have the right to life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness as an endowment from our Creator. And one of those rights in America is not to believe in the Creator if you don't want to. What I meant about freedom of religion in that sense and not freedom from religion is that there's been too much of an attempt and too often from members of my party to feel uncomfortable talking about faith or to try to exclude faith or expressions of it from the public square. The fact is, in America, we're the most religiously observant in our individual lives, nation probably in the whole world, and we are the most religiously tolerant. Faith, in my opinion, is a source of strength and unity. And when we try to conceal it, we diminish our strength and divide ourselves.
Senator Lieberman. And in the last election, Al Gore won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College. Here's an email for you, Ambassador Mosley Braun. It's from Charlotte Connolly in Dallas. Would you support abandoning the Electoral College and electing our president by popular vote?
Yes. The fact is that the Constitution, when our Constitution was written, the only federal office that was directly elected was the Congress. The Senate was elected by the state legislatures, and of course the Electoral Congress elected the president. And so this was changed in 1918 for the Senate. I believe we're past time when the Electoral College needs to go and we have direct election. I was not here for that last election. I was in New Zealand serving as ambassador. You can imagine trying to explain what was going on back here at home to Kiwis who didn't know we didn't have direct democracy in this country. But I want to get to an earlier question. You asked a number of the candidates about campaign finance and the like. The real issue is, how do we keep our democracy alive? How do we make this a living constitution? How do we invigorate our democracy? The fact of the matter is that as the non-traditional candidate in this race, I'm female, African-American, I've had the hardest time navigating the fundraising milieu. I've had the hardest time dealing with the rules that seem to be calculated just to inspire those corporate contributions that Howard was talking about and lock out people at the grassroots level. I think getting the grassroots energized and giving them faith again that this process can work for everybody should be our number one goal.
Ambassador Mosley Braun. Here's an email question for Congressman Gephardt from Mike Harner in Rockford, Illinois. He writes, "We hear all the time about waste in the federal government. Can you name a federal government spending program that you would cut completely, not decrease the rate of growth, not downsize, but actually eliminate?"
There are a number of programs that we cut back on and eliminated when we led the fight. I led the fight for the Clinton Economic Program in 1993. We made cutbacks in a number of programs. One program that I would definitely cut out is the effort this administration is making to develop tactical nuclear weapons. I think it makes no sense. We should be trying to figure out how to get rid of nuclear weapons. I also would not launch into this Star Wars program that they're continuing to do. We should do research, as Clinton allowed us to do, but to go ahead with this program without any valid test that this is going to work does not make good sense. So the way you get the budget straightened out is the way we did it in 93. You got to get the economy to function. You got to build jobs. You got to get people back to work with good paying jobs. That's what my plans will do.
Governor Dean, Craig Graziano from right here in Des Moines, Iowa, has this email question for you. The United Nations was founded in the middle of the last century. Are there changes that could now be made that would help it achieve its goal of world peace? In other words, does the UN need reform?
I think the UN has gone through a big period of reform. Could it use some more? Yes. I think that, for example, the election of Syria or Libya as the head of the Human Rights Commission in the United Nations is probably a sign that still further reforms are necessary. Having said that, however, I think this president made an enormous mistake bypassing the United Nations on his way into Iraq. We are not going to give the United Nations veto power over our foreign policy, but the president's father showed that building coalitions is far more successful and will retain our moral leadership in the world, which this president has forfeited by humiliating not only our enemies but our friends. So I think I view the UN as a very positive nation, a very positive institution, a group of nations that we should work with, a place to resolve disputes, a place where diplomacy is always favored over violence, which I think is, in general, the right direction for the United States to follow. It's not perfect. I'm sure there's some additional reforms, such as qualifications for the Human Rights Commission, but I do believe that this president has misused the United Nations or not used it at all, and under a Dean presidency, you could expect to see a significant increase in the role of the United Nations in world diplomacy.
Congressman Kucinich, we just have about a minute left, so if you could keep this one a little bit shorter than normal. But I did want to follow up on the domestic spending cuts issue that I raised earlier. Is there a program that you would eliminate?
I would say that the programs that I would cut would include a 15% reduction in Pentagon spending. The Pentagon budget is bloated for some of the same reasons that Dick Gephardt mentioned. But I think that what we need here is a program to challenge poverty. And my program to go from poverty to prosperity would include a living wage, creation of jobs through a new WPA-type program, universal health care for all, universal pre-kindergarten, universal college education for all, development of high-tech with energy and environment, and canceling the relationship between the United States and the WTO and NAFTA. That would help us move in a direction of repairing our economy.
Congressman Kucinich, we're in Des Moines, Iowa, with the Democratic presidential candidates. I'm Neil Conan. This is an NPR News special.